strategy is more important today than it's ever been. The expectations are through the roof now because of AI, because they expect people to respond right away. They expect people to quote right away. They expect people to be there right away. And it's not a great place to be in, but it's reality of where consumers are today, for sure.
You're listening to Contract Revolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. To get the tools, templates, and resources that we discuss in this episode, make sure you check out the link in the description. Rob, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on, my friend.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
I was excited to have you on. We're going to talk AI today, and I feel like whenever I have these conversations, there's so many ideas that can come out of it, and almost too many. And I appreciate just the prep call we did together, where you really just kind of calmed my ADD brain down a little bit, and you were like, look, like, this is what you need to focus on. Here's some practical solutions to get this done right and build some actual workflow and stop messing around. So it'll be great. I'm excited to get into this. I guess ultimately maybe you tell everyone a little bit about what you do, because you've shifted a little bit as AI has become more popular in the marketplace. You now work with a lot of contractors helping install workflow like this. But yeah, why don't you give us a big quick intro on you?
Yeah, for sure. And I am an AI proponent, just so you know, I do use it. So I'm just more cautious. And I think probably from my perspective, is my background is mainly around strategy work. So I work with clients from a strategic level. So I'll go into clients and look at making sure that everything from sales and marketing operations is all aligned. And when AI became sort of the buzzword a couple of years ago and everyone was looking at it, I just found ways to add it into the strategic side, right? So I was looking for ways to add AI and automation into there. And as this train sort of got going more and more, I just found that strategy is more important than ever. Like, because there's so many tools out there. So what I spend working with clients, the time I spend is looking from a strategic level. Are your workflows right? Are your SOPs right before we add in AI and automation into your workflow? So that's sort of where I've been spending most of my time over the last, say, I would say 14 months, 15 months, where I've been spending most of my time. So.
And what are you seeing as a pattern, especially with the contractors you work with? Like, what are we all doing wrong right now?
Well, I don't know if anyone's doing anything wrong. I think it's the hype, right? Like, I think that's what happens though. We see on social media that there's this magic button that can fix, you know, you can get an agent and it's going to, change the way you do business. And I think people just get caught up in the hype and in our tools. Like we chase tools. I think that's the biggest thing that I see people are getting wrong, is that we're just keep chasing the tools. And I think that we just need to take a step back a little bit and just really understand what are we trying to solve, and then go find the tools that fit rather than the other way around. And it's shame on people like me, I have to say. Like there's these experts, AI experts, and I don't consider myself an expert at all. I'm learning, is that we're pushing this, right? We're pushing tools on clients. And to me, it's not the right, it's not the right way to go. I just think you're doing a disservice to the client when you don't need to, you need to understand the business. Is it right operations for you to do it? So I don't think anyone's doing anything wrong. I think we're just getting caught up in the hype and grabbing a tool and trying it out, right? So.
Yeah. And I think there's a cost to it that has nothing to do with our subscriptions. It's like, I put so much time into this thing and it even like gave me this solution that I needed for this one thing, but then I can't use it over and over and over again. It's just kind of like a one-time use or a two-time use. And then I leave it, 'cause I'm like, it's kind of half broken. So I don't really want to show my team, if I'm honest.
Yeah. And it's funny, 'cause it's never the dollars, 'cause these subscriptions are cheap, right? Yeah. $20 a year or whatever. It's the time. I have a friend that's, runs an agency in Portland, and he built himself 9 agents using OpenClaw, but he put about 3,000 hours worth of work. Mm-hmm. Like 3,000, I don't know. Do you have 3,000 hours worth of
That's like an entire year's worth of work, man.
Yeah, right. So I think just to do these things right, it's just tough. It's tough because I think we get caught up in the hype. But that being said, they're very powerful, right? The AI is obviously very powerful and it could really help your business. But I think when you don't do it right, we're seeing it's not the dollars. Like we work with clients that, just a case that comes to mind where they're trying to automate a workflow when it comes to inbound leads, right? So you can get, it's really good for that. AI is really good for that. But well, every salesperson responds differently. Some people don't put their notes into CRM properly. Some people might, you know, not respond right away. So you have the system built and AI is doing what it should do, but it's broken because it's not grabbing the information. It's not responding the way it should. So it's not even just the dollars you're wasting. It's the time you've wasted. And then all of a sudden you say, well, the system didn't work. Well, it wasn't really the system. We didn't have a proper process in place, right? So,
yeah. And when you say strategy, like, what do you mean by that? Like, if what am I trying to figure out strategically before I even look at tools? What is the hierarchy of decision making, basically, that I would go through?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because I think that's where most people get stuck on, because strategy could be a daunting word as well, because you're like, oh, this consultant's going to come in and charge me $100,000 to analyze my business. On a simplest form, like I have a scorecard that I use. Honestly, it's like 5-6 questions. Happy to share it with listeners as well. Is that just really asking 5 simple questions, right? So first of all, do we actually understand the workflow, right? Do we actually understand, is it documented? Does everyone follow the same steps? You know, is it clearly explained? Could you clearly explain it to a new employee? Like, that's number one. You have clarity. The second part I look at is that, does it happen often, right? Is it something that constantly happens? Like, inbound leads is a good one. Well, hopefully we're doing our job right. We're always getting inbound leads, right? So that's what something that's happening all the time, right? Then the other thing is, who owns the workflow? That's a big question, because sometimes everyone's pointing fingers at everybody and like, well, who's accountable? Who's accountable for this one workflow that we're trying to automate or we're trying to put AI into, right? So someone needs to own it. The fourth thing is quality, the data quality. So this is where we hear the term AI slop. It's happened for years, data, garbage in, garbage out. So if we're not having proper data to put into the workflow or the AI, the AI doesn't know that it's outdated. It's just going to give you an answer, right? And then the last thing I kind of look at is, what's the impact? Like, what would it mean to the business if we can solve this problem? And again, I go back to inbound leads. Well, what if we could close one piece of business a day or a week for you using this automation? Well, that's an important part where you can put some real metrics. So I just say, ask those 5 questions, rate them out of 5. If you're scoring 25 or higher, guess what? You've got a proper workflow you need to build a strategy to build AI and automation. If you don't, you need to rethink what you're doing, right? Simple as that. We can narrow down strategy when I say it as simple as those 5 questions.
Is this the opportunity scorecard you were telling me about earlier?
Correct.
Okay, that's this? Okay. Can we put that, can we grab that and put that in for everyone to grab? I think it'd just be a
good... Yeah, 100%. Happy to share it. I can share it with you, and the listeners can download it and have a look at it for sure. And it's really simple. Like I said, I think I've added a 6. I lied. I think there's a 6th one I add where it's more, it's like the human risk, right? What happens if AI gets it wrong, right? Yeah. That's the part that we need to think about as well. Well, what if we add AI into this, but it goes rogue on us, right? So if there's lots of concern there, we might want to rethink that as well, solve that issue first before we go in. So when I talk strategy, I mean, I'll work with clients where I'll do like, you know, working sessions, workshops and so on. But on a simple term, when it comes to AI, if you can answer those 5-6 questions, that's your strategy. Hey, are we scoring higher than 25? Yeah, something we can automate, put AI into. If not, you need to fix your system. You need to fix your workflow before you do it.
This first question you have is like, do you understand the workflow? How does somebody go about doing that? Because I know some of the contractors we work with have muddled SOPs, and they've kind of like, they even use ChatGPT to kind of create it. So it's kind of like generated like based off of a prompt. Like, how do we get to a point where we actually have good workflow that we know this is how it accurately is happening today, the way our team actually does this? How do we pull that information? Because it's stuck usually in a muddled version of documents and I guess our head.
Yeah. And it's a great question, because a lot of times it does. It sits in people's heads. It's the way Rob does, because it's the way Rob's done it. Right. So I think there's different areas there. I always look, my goal is always trying to get to a single source of truth. Like, that's always sort of what I try to get to, is that are we able to bring this into an area where we have one single source of truth that the business can pull off? So to get that information, there's a couple different ways. One, there's like screen recording. So if it's something that you're doing day to day on your computer, there's tools out there that will screen record your process, and you can use it to analyze if you're doing, you know, is there more efficiency? That's one simple way. But if you're like, well, Rob, it's not on the computer, well, then the other ways to do it is you need to interview people. Right. You need to act, interview your team, understand and revisit those SOPs. When's the last time we've revisited our SOPs? 6 years, 7 years, 2 months? Like, are the most efficient way to do it? Because when you say like we put it into ChatGPT, and I use that as well, is that ChatGPT is going to give us an answer. Doesn't matter what we put in. These tools are always going to answer, good or bad or indifferent. They're always going to, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to give us the right answer, because it's only going to give the information we give. So I typically say, we need to start with interviewing the people that are in through that process, screen record, interview through using AI tools, record the meetings using tools. And then we're analyzing to see, do we have the proper workflow? Are we doing the things the most efficient way that we can do it? Simple for me is to say, if you can't explain it to a new employee, if Rob can't explain the workflow, you probably don't have a process in place. You need to go back and figure that out, right? So, because when you're asking a ChatGPT or a Claude, think about as a new employee, you would never just go to a new employee and go, write me a blog, right? You're going to train. You're going to give it a proper process. So those are some simple steps that you can do to actually action some of this stuff.
So I start recording everything and everybody, and I assume, do I have to turn this into transcriptions? Can I keep it as just recording? Like, how do I use this now? Because no one's going to ever review all of my recordings, right? Yeah. So what do I do with all this?
You don't have someone on your team that can just watch all your videos.
You know what? There's so many Zoom recordings that we've made over the years. It was like, we should record the meeting and make sure. And I'm like, how many of us are actually looking? And I'm not saying we never do, because sometimes we do, but like, I think 90% of them never actually get looked at, right? It's just super time consuming.
So you can build an automation. So you can build it, because there's a difference when you hear me talking around AI and automation. I just want to make sure we distinguish the difference, because you can have an automation. You can automate something without having any AI embedded into it, right? So AI is when you fuel charge it. You're asking the tool to do something with the data, but you can move stuff around and automate. So I can automate a process where you and I have a meeting. It automatically takes the transcript and brings it into somewhere for me, right? So for instance, the way I would use is that if I'm doing a strategy session as a practical way, if I'm meeting a client, I always ask if I can record the meeting. No one's ever said no to me, and then automatically that transcript goes into a tool that analyzes it. And what I'm analyzing is where I've actually maybe missed something. Hey, Rob, you know what? Like, when Danny said this, you should have maybe carried this further. There's a nugget there. So I'm actually asking for ways that I maybe missed something in the conversation that you and I might have had. So I'm automatically bringing it. So yes, the short answer is you want the transcript. So using a tool, again, going back to tools, right? But using a tool like Otter to record, because you can easily pull a transcript out of it. I think these tools will get better where they can analyze video. They're not great at that right now, but right now you want the written word. And I would just build a little automation using a make.com or whatever you use that just brings it automatically in. So you're not touching it after the meeting. It's automatically doing it for you. And that's a pretty simple automation without even worrying about any AI at that moment, right? So
yeah, I use something called Plot actually that just records live meetings. So when we're out in the field doing things, we can actually still get that same level of transcription. So then what do we do? Because I mean, normally if I put stuff into ChatGPT or Claude, it gets to know me, but it still forgets stuff constantly. How do I get this to a point where it's my data, my company, my stuff, and it's referencing in a way that I can trust it and not it's just hallucinating half the time?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the downsides of the large language models. Say they're getting better, like by far. Like, I mean, these models have come a long way, but they're not perfect, right? And I don't know. I think I know a couple of humans that aren't perfect either. So I think that I think these models are getting better and better. And I think you said the word train, and that's what I always tell clients. Like, you need to train them. You need to train the models in chat. Chat and Claude are better at that than some. Like Gemini is, like, if people are using Gemini, like other tools, sometimes they're harder to train. But Claude and ChatGPT, specifically ChatGPT, it's got a really good memory. So I can access things from, if you're building projects, if you're doing things, I know I'm getting to the technical side, but if you're using it in folders and so forth, it will keep memory, right? And I can source that back. So for me, it's training the model. It's understanding, like when I first started using it, terrible. I'm like, I don't talk like that. Like, does this, like I have a very unique sort of tone and style. Now, I very seldom make a change to my ChatGPT content, very seldom, but it's been a year and a half of actually training it and putting information into it and telling I wouldn't speak that way and get rid of the M dashes and like just doing the little things that you need to do to, no different. Like I said, I treat it like an employee. I really do, to say I wouldn't hire an employee and just set them free. I would train them, right? Transfer that knowledge to them. And I would say these tools are exact same way. Large language models are the exact same way.
One thing that's come up a lot, actually, as I've been just talking more publicly about this, is with my experience going through, you know, our company and how we're using AI is privacy concerns. And it actually was interesting for me because at first I was like, yeah. And then I was like, No, you're right. We are just blindly trusting this thing. How do we, for those who are concerned about privacy and they're like, look, I don't put my company stuff in this because I know it's just going to be publicly available. How do we mitigate that?
Yeah. And that's first and foremost, I think everyone that's listening, if you're using AI in your company, make sure you have an AI policy. Like you need to have an AI policy because you can't leave it to everyone to make those decisions because Rob is just using his personal ChatGPT at work. And like, you need to have a policy. What you can and what you can't put in. That's number one. The second thing is that there are tools out there. There are large language models that are more safe than others. But the beauty of nowadays is that if you really want to invest the dollars and the time, and we're not talking about thousands and thousands of dollars, but you can download your own large language model. Like you can actually download your own model onto a server that lives in the four walls of your company that doesn't access the internet like at all. It just accesses the information that's out there. There's also tools out there. There's a company called Nova Storms. It's actually out of back east in Canada. That's exactly what they do. You download their model onto your desktop and they don't even have access to it, but you train it to your knowledge and you access your knowledge. Now, the downside of that is it doesn't access the real world. You can't ask it for current information because you don't want it to leave your environment, right? So that's the one downside of it, because these models, funny, I think you and I were talking about this, is that if you ask ChatGPT at its core what time it is, it can't even tell you the time.
Right.
It can pass a law exam, but it can't tell you the time because it needs to access the internet in order for it. So if there's privacy issues, there are solutions out there for you to download your own large language model if you wanted to. And again, it takes time. I said at the start, there's no easy button. I think that's where I think we kind of got, you know, a little bit of caught up in the hype as consumers and as business owners that AI is going to change our world. It can, but it takes time and money to do it properly. Right. So, but the solution is there. So then you could have your own large language model for your business. That's yours, your IP, trained on your information that no one else can access except you. 100%.
Could you even tell us a story? Because I know this is part of what you do day to day is help people transcribe all of this information from their team, put it into an LLM. Could you give us a practical story where you've done this, even just within a contracting business and what you've learned from doing this?
Yeah, I mean, we're actually working with the most recent client right now that's doing it. That's actually the one thing with the way I work is I'm like I said, I'm not an expert. I'm learning this stuff, and I don't know if anyone's an expert. But we work with partners, right? So we have a partner that actually is I'll consider the expert in the field of sort of hardware, large language. So we would bring him. So we have a client, obviously can't name names, but have a client that was looking to do this. And this all started with a conversation about they needed to streamline their RFP process. So they get RFPs lying on their desk, took way too long. They felt it took way too long. That was the bottleneck. From the day it came in to the day that it went out, he wanted to streamline that process. So as we started working with them, understanding the workflows, operations, how people work, so we can talk about how we streamline that specifically. But what came out of it was that they needed a single source of truth. They have all this documentation everywhere. They had all this information everywhere. So what we just, you buy a server, literally you buy a little server. You can buy a Mac Mini for $800 or studio for a couple thousand dollars.
Maybe you can get one.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can get one, exactly. But you can. You're basically buying a computer that basically you download a model. You download, there's free models out there like Quinn and Meta's model you can download for free. So you're basically just downloading the brain, right? So you put it onto a computer, let's say, and then you start training it with the stuff we talked about. You're interviewing staff, your recordings, all your old quotes that you have done and how you do pricing. Like, you need all the information that you load into this model. The cool thing about the models nowadays is that it can parse information really good. It doesn't have to be perfect. People worry about like Excel, everything has to be, you know, when we used to mail merge, everything had to be perfect. Mm-hmm. These LLMs are smart enough to kind of sort through it now. So we've actually been able to download that information into one single source of truth right now. So on a model. And now what we're doing, now we're working with them to build a whole bunch of stuff off of it. Okay, now let's build training. We haven't started this yet, but let's build training modules. Let's revisit your SOPs. Now let's revisit how we're going to quote things. We're using that as the engine now. So we spent the last few months building this engine before we're going on implementing the actual workflows into their operations, into their business.
And how can you best describe the difference between that and, you know, just bumping a bunch of stuff into ChatGPT over the year, like I've done the last 3 years, and getting outputs? Like, what am I seeing that's tangibly quite different when you look at the two?
Yeah, I mean, the big difference in the two, and I've done the same thing, Daniel, like I've spent the last 2 years training my ChatGPT. You could not pull it out of my hands now, but because you spent so much time doing it, is that these general models like Claude, ChatGPT, Gemini are exactly what they're super smart, right? Like, they can pass bar exams, but they're trained on everybody's knowledge. They're not trained on my company's IP, my company's brand, my company. So it's pulling from everywhere. And the other part, the big difference, is privacy. Anything you put into ChatGPT, I mean, I can't guarantee you that it's not, it's definitely there to train the model, but I can't guarantee it's not going wherever. I don't know. It's above my pay grade, but I suspect that Elon Musk is not caring about, or Sam Altman's not caring about, Rob Capella's information that I'm putting in there. Like, but I don't know, right? So, but I think from a corporate perspective, when you bring it out, one, you're training it as your model. So think about the IP you're creating for your company. Right. Like, so when I say IP, that intellectual property, the value that create for your company, when you have your own large language model that's trained on your business, like, that's pretty powerful. It's pretty valuable to even think from a succession perspective, the value or training, all that. So that's the difference between the two. You have this general knowledge base that's super smart, really, that can do all this stuff, but it's not branded, quote unquote, to your brand and your company per se.
Right. Yeah. I've gone as far as to download our brand standards guide and documents and put it. Actually, I've been using Claude for this specifically, and it's been good, but it keeps drifting a bit. Come on. Have we spent hours on this, bro?
No. Well, yesterday, it was funny you say that. I mean, I'm in this stuff 24/7. And yesterday I was trying to create a graphic for LinkedIn. I've been working with my ChatGPT since it came out, like 3 years ago or whatever. And it gave me something completely different, like not my picture, not my brand colors. Like, and I'm like, what just happened? But it does that. You need to be. And again, I always ground myself in, you know what? I could give this to a designer and maybe they come back a little off brand as well. So I kind of take a little bit of a different position, like I'm training this thing, but you're right that they do veer off a little bit. When you bring in your environment, you have a lot more control, because it's only drawing from that knowledge base, right? If it's your own large language model, it's only drawing from that language or that knowledge base, not from all the knowledge bases in Claude or ChatGPT.
So just to backtrack a bit, I'm looking at, hey, I've got all these opportunities and options. I hear so many things about AI. What should I do? We start by thinking through the strategy. What is the lowest hanging fruit and the biggest need within our organization? And what is the right way to start to design this? This often leads you to saying, hey, we need a source of truth, right?
Yeah.
That we need to pull from. And we could use open LLMs, but if we want to have a more tight model, we can use private ones as an option. Actually, one question on that, because I've been talking to a lot of people about Notebook LM. Is that, because that's a great, you know, company brain, right? Is that any much different than what you were just speaking, where I have my own server or should I just do something more like a Notebook LM? Is that a simpler?
Notebook LM is to be is equivalent to a ChatGPT though, right? Is it's just a Google. It's a Google product. Yeah. I mean, it's owned by Google, and Notebook LM is absolutely amazing for people that haven't used it. Use it, like go try it. It's actually a cool tool to try. But to me, again, it's just another tool, and it's great. But it's no different than a ChatGPT or a Claude to me, right? It's like and what's happening now is that. I know we're kind of getting into tool discussion, but what's happening? No, because this is an important discussion, though, is because Claude and ChatGPT are becoming that one. They want to become that one single source of truth for businesses, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they're starting to add agentic mode. And like ChatGPT, now you can design ads that are really good. And they want to be that one. They want to replace your CRM. They want to replace they want to be the one thing that you use. So they're getting better and better at that. My concern is the privacy side, right? So Notebook LM is the exact same thing. I can't guarantee that information isn't being shared through Google. I don't know. You can read the small print, and I suspect 99 out of 100 is there. That information is going somewhere. They're using your information to train something. Because, you know, this is a whole different podcast. We're just algorithms, right? Like we're all just algorithms right now. And everything we do, these models are building algorithms and serving us ads, right?
But so. Rob, my phone doesn't listen to me. It doesn't know what I'm doing. Totally. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Now, the other thing you wrote when you were talking about the strategy questions is like, what happens often? What is the most common thing you see amongst specifically the contractors that you work with, those clientele, that they're like, this is what they most often need, the biggest low-hanging fruit for them?
Yeah. And to be honest, it's I can look at contractors. I can look at general businesses that we work with. They're almost... There really is. And it all typically, and what maybe a little bit heavier weighted on contractors is inbound leads, right? Because most of the contractors we work with, they're in the field, right? If you're a plumber, you're out. If you're an electrician, you're out. You're typically out in the field. So that's usually one area that we look for is how do we help with inbound leads, right? Because, you know, if we can be quicker, if we can qualify things quicker, if we can make sure we're not missing inbound leads or calls, like that's typically the number one area that we work. The second one is most of us are living in email hell, right? We have email that are going in like the crazy. We don't get back to people's, and I'm guilty of that. Funny story is I still haven't let AI into my email. Uh-huh. Like talk about like a trust issue. I haven't. Like I still manage my own inbox, which probably drives people crazy because it won't get back as fast as I can. But I still haven't let it in, right? So, but that's another area we can start automating. The third area is the quoting, right? So we can really build a really good automatic system or system where we can go from I met with a client to a quote to them, like almost into it, like within minutes. Like if you have your right data and the right workflow, those are probably the three main ones that we've seen people. We work with clients that they're like, wow, like that is that's a big help. Like, hey, I can get back to people faster. I can get a quote to them faster. And hey, my inbox doesn't look like someone blew up, right? Those are usually the three areas.
Yeah. And actually I've had multiple conversations now where inbound leads seems to be coming up quite a bit, especially in the contracting space. Because to your point, we're all out in the field working every single day and then we miss a bunch of calls. So I guess given that, like, and given what we just talked about, could you just tell it? Maybe you have a specific story where you've done this, where it's like, this is exactly how we did it, right? Because I imagine you could just load up a tool that takes in calls and responds to emails. And like, I've done this actually. We had to fire the company because it was like, this is just, we trained it, but something was up because it just wasn't there yet. Like I was like, I don't trust this fully. How do we get this so it's clean? And it's like, wow, this is beyond expectation.
Yeah. And in order to do it right, you need, and I'm going to use the three letters a lot of people don't like hearing a CRM, but you need some sort of CRM system, right? Because you need that, again, you're going to hear me say this a lot, a single source of truth. Like you need that one place where everything can live. And if you have, there are systems out there, and some people use HubSpot, right? Which I don't necessarily recommend a lot because it can get really, really expensive. Like the free model is great, but you can only do, you know, so much with it. But there's tools out there or platforms, or it's not even a tool, a platform's like a Go High Level, for instance, where it's all built in, right? So if someone goes onto your site and fills out a form, the automations kick in. It's all done under one platform. I do it for myself, right? For my site, if someone goes on and fills out or it builds, it's an automation. It's all built, right? And then there's an area where Rob jumps in, right? And I've built that way. So that's one way I think that's both clients where we've automated. The other side, the way you do it is you have to use API. You need to use a make.com or that's usually the main one is make.com, and you're building APIs, right? You're drawing it like something does here. It pulls it into here and then it goes here. So those are really the main two ways to do that. Why I lean towards more like a Go High Level is because it's got all the stuff I talk about built in. It's got voice AI built in, texting built in. It's got everything built in. And I'm a believer of less technology. When I work with clients, it blows my mind how much software they have that they don't even know. Like, well, no, we use three software pieces or four. And I'm like, no, you've 18, right? Like, that's pretty common, even in contractor world, is because, oh, we use this for this, and we use this, our website's hosted here, our email's hosted here, we do that, like, we have a system that I quote people in, like, so we try to minimize that as much as possible. So from a, to answer your question from a, like, we do that all the time. That's probably the easiest workflow to automate. Like being able to say, hey, you started, everything's like, you're missing calls, you're out in the field, you don't even know the calls you missed, right? Now we've automated it, and all of a sudden, you know, the contractor is like, wow, like I'm actually having to turn business away now because I'm actually just listening to the leads or capturing the leads that were coming. Because I don't know, if you're like me, Dad, if I call you and you don't answer, I'm probably just going to call the next person.
Mm-hmm. And where's the line between automation and AI and human interaction when it comes to lead intake specifically? Because yeah, I feel like it can be over automated and it can do the greatest thing ever, but it doesn't do it to your level, right? The human could always do it better in a way. So how do you map that out when you're building, say, a strategy with this specific lead or this specific workflow within a company?
Yeah, and that's a great question. It's most clients just could use a little bit of automation, to be honest. Like that's most clients, because automation would be like something comes in and I just need to get something back to the client or the prospect right away. That's just automate. You don't need any AI to do that whatsoever. Where AI becomes powerful is that now I can customize that message. I can customize the solution back to Danny. I can integrate calendars, I can integrate missing data. Hey, make sure you send this for, like, that's where AI comes in. You're just kind of amplifying it. And most of the contractors we work with don't need that. To be honest, they don't need the AI. That's why I show the difference in AI and automation. You can just automate a workflow, an inbound lead system that will blow your mind, would literally cost you like $100 a month. Like, oh, like honestly, like as simple as that, because you don't need all the AI. That's because most people, if you're a contractor, you're one or two people, three, four or five people, just automate it. And you don't need to add AI, because I'm the last thing, as you said, like I'm a human in the loop guy. Like I think one area that we're worried, I think when AI came out, is that it's going to replace humans, and maybe down the road it will. You and I were talking about robotics on our pre-call and you know, that's an area we might get into, but there's an area that you still, like, humans need to be part of it, right? Like I go to networking events, I'm picking up the phone when Danny's not happy. I'm like, there's things that human needs to do, and people want to work with humans, right? They want to work with someone they know. And I'll tell you a story. This is a perfect example of how AI and automation and the world has changed. So my mom last week calls me and says her dryer doesn't work anymore. Stop drying. I'm like, okay, I'm in Kelowna. I'm like, I'm going to find someone. What did I do? I went to ChatGPT. And I pit my little voice and said, mom's dryer broke. I knew what it was, a Samsung. It doesn't blow any hot air. Can you find me someone in Kamloops with good reviews that I can call? Within seconds, it gave me one person, didn't give me 10, give me one, called the guy. He answered right away. He's like, I'll be there like Tuesday. I think this was a Monday. He goes, I'll be there Wednesday. I'll be there Wednesday. He's there Wednesday. He calls me and says, all done. Send me pictures. It's all working, but you should get the ducts cleaned or the air, the vent clean. I'm like, great. I did the same thing. Give me one more. Like that's today's marketing is what I just went through. I didn't go to Google. I didn't go to the yellow pages, right? Like AI, SAO, SEO, GEO, all that, like how people are finding you. That system is that guy, that business wouldn't have got the business if he wouldn't have shown up. Right. And how many people didn't even get the call? Right. So that's what we work with businesses on.
What you're speaking to as well is, I think, a major shift in what the public expects from like a service level. And I think it started with things like Amazon, where we could just click to buy, or Uber, or you know what I mean? And so this shift was already happening before AI even became on the scene. And I've watched it over the last 10 years evolve, where now the consumer is demanding that level of like experience and right. quickness to basically a result. And I think there is those who are quickly building towards that and winning the game, and those who are not. And there is quickly becoming a chasm between the two.
100% agree. 100%. And the ones that are not getting the business don't even know what they're missing, because they're not even getting the call. They're not even getting the email. And I think like contractors specifically, really, because when something breaks, I want it fixed. Like, I don't want to wait 2 weeks. Like, you just don't. Like, a washer, a air conditioner, whatever it is. So, like you said, like, I think that the businesses that are, and you just said it, I want immediate action, right? So, and I'm a consumer, and vice versa, when I'm working with my customers. So the expectations are through the roof now because of AI, because they expect people to respond right away. They expect people to quote right away. They expect people to be there right away. And it's not a great place to be in, but it's reality of where consumers are today, for sure.
Yeah, it's capitalism. It's pushing demand to make things better because we can get it better. And there's those 100%. Who will offer and those who won't. So let's get into team adoption for a second. So we've talked about a lot here so far, but I can just imagine like someone's like, okay, so I've got to take, transcripts for my team and build our SOPs or have our SOPs dumped into this model. I'm then going to start to use it at some level. Like, how do I get the team to adopt this? Because you had mentioned about an AI champion and like, can you just walk us through, like, how do we actually get the team to use this? Because I've seen varying degrees of this. I've seen new departments in our company take it on and run with it. And I've seen departments that have been around for a long time really struggle to adopt and shift what they currently do every single day.
Yeah. And that's probably the number one barrier of all the businesses we work with, contractors or not. It's to start off, Canada is the lowest AI adoption out of all G7 nations. Like, Canadian businesses are adopting AI at a lowest rate out of all G7 nations, first of all.
Who's top? Do you know?
The two nations that are adopting at the highest rate are India and Africa.
Interesting. Okay. Tell me.
Okay. And there's a whole discussion on why young generation... We're not producing kids as much. Younger generation, Africa, India, technology. There's a whole bunch of reasons why. Europe is slow because they regulate everything. Like they're over-regulated. US is under-regulated, and we're in the middle. Canada's like, we don't know where we want to go when we grow up when it comes to AI. So very low adoption. Next layer, the companies that we work with, we find that there's pockets of people, right? So Rob's using his own personal GPT. Someone else in the corner is not using AI at all. They've heard about it. Someone's using Notebook LM. Like that's very, very typical, right? Mm-hmm. Very typical. And as the company gets a little bit bigger, you can see the problems that could happen there. No policy, what's happening with it. So we typically recommend you need to find an AI champion in your business. Someone that's going to bridge this. It's going to be the champion bringing these in, not just chasing tools, really understanding what the company needs, where the goals are, and where we can implement AI and automation in your business. I typically like that. Now, most people say, well, yeah, we got so-and-so that just graduated and they would be perfect for it. And I'm like, just because they're young and tech savvy doesn't necessarily mean they're the right answer. And the reason I say that is because like knowledge of technology without understanding the business can actually create more problems. right? So it's remember when social media came out, we were, you know, businesses wanted to hire, you know, the young person who used Facebook all the time or Instagram. And I'm like, well, using Instagram to post what you had for dinner are totally different than using Instagram to drive business, right? So AI is the exact same way. So and I'm not saying that young tech can't do it, for sure. We found some really cool champions that love this stuff, understand business as well. I think we look for people that really understand the workflow, really understand operational side, and then we work with them to be the champion internally. So they're the ones that are like, yeah, these are the tools we're going to use and why. You come to me if you have questions, doing workshops, doing training, like being someone that really loves to take ownership of this. And if you're doing it right, my argument is if you're implementing AI correctly, we can free someone's time up to do this, right? So rather than free up someone's time so we can let them go, lay them off, we're going to free up time so they become a champion and actually run this through your organization. And that's where it becomes very powerful.
Yeah, when we talked on the prep call too, like they need the business context. The better they know the company itself, the easier it's going to be. So is this often somebody who already works for you then that you're just identifying within your own organization and saying, hey, this is now going to be 20 hours a week of your job, 50 or 40? I don't know. How much do we want them fully in a new job role? Like how do we want to structure this for somebody?
I mean, every company is different. But to answer your first question, yes, typically someone that's in an organization. I'm a big believer as well. Social media needs to be managed internally, right? Like it's hard to have Rob do your social media when you're in wherever, Red Deer, Vancouver, Langley, wherever you are. So I typically would say this is similar. You want someone internally being the champion that knows the businesses, that understands. And really, we've seen people grow into both. Like typically it's hybrid. Like I haven't seen a situation where someone's just doing this full time. We don't work with that level of client. Like when you get to that or enterprise level, they have all departments, excuse me, but at the level of businesses, contractors, small, medium-sized businesses, it's usually part of a role. It's part of a role of someone they're in. We typically are finding they're in the marketing department. Doesn't necessarily mean they have to be, but they are, because usually in the marketing department, the people in marketing are using AI. Right. We're comfortable using AI for blogs, for websites, for whatever it may be. Where in operations, we've typically find HR and they're scared of it. Right. Because, well, we're not putting someone's resume. We're not using it to discipline people. Like they just adopted better. So it's typically someone in the marketing department. So that just talks a whole bunch of different issues. You need to get buy-in, right? And that's why we say we need a champion, because you can't do it in pockets, because you're really going to. You're going to struggle as a company. I could see some real big red flags when you're doing things in pockets that way, right? So,
well, it goes back to the strategy that you were talking about earlier, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is where things have gone awry, I think, for most of us, and me included, whereas it's kind of like our team, I have my own ChatGPT, plus I have a Claude, my marketing team has their own ChatGPT. We're all using different tools. My sales team's looking at automating some of the inbound stuff. And it's like, and so we have a CTO now, actually, which not most companies have, but the answer is to have one person, regardless of who that person is, that has
correct
context of the business and correct has a zest or a passion for automation and AI and wants to discover and learn as they go. That's kind of
well, technology in general, right? Because I mean, we've gone through this how many times, right? Like the iPhone, the internet was a fad when it first came out, but people are like, I remember hotels telling us people don't book hotels using websites. Right. Like, so it's just someone that loves technology, that is willing to explore sort of how technology can help the company. Cause that's how I look. AI is but it is a technology, right? Like, so it's a very powerful one, because who knows what comes out? We don't know, like robotics. Like, I don't know, how do you integrate robotics into your company? Like, I don't know. Like, you need someone that's actually going to have the interest in actually doing that. And if they can grow that into a full-time role, great. We haven't seen it. Like, it's typically a part of someone's role right now.
Yeah, and things change quick. I mean, you're just talking about travel. I'm like, when we first started Breakthrough Academy 10 years ago, I remember going and booking my flight, booking my hotel like a month in advance. I'd get a rental car, you know, and now I'm like, I book my flight. You know what? I book my flight about a month early because of cost of flights. But I'll book my hotel sometimes on the way, like flying in. I have always an Uber. And then if like in town, I just get like a Lime scooter and rip around town. And I'm just kind of like, man, like I am like, people are like, do you know where you're sleeping tonight? I was like, I'm going to find out right about now.
Somewhere.
Love it. Oh, God. Anyway, good. Let's talk about the future a bit. Like what trends are you seeing, especially in the contracting space, that are worth watching right now?
Yeah, I think a couple, like I'm agents for sure. Like I hesitate to say agents because people hate agents and they just get a different picture of these, you know, we're going to have something that's going to take over everything and do all our work for us. But I think I'm excited about where agents are going and the autonomous agents where they can be another almost an employee. I'm actually doing a talk tomorrow where the title of some of your next hire could be not be a human, that sort of idea, in that the skill set it's going to take to manage not just humans, to manage agents, right? So eventually I see where contractors, every business might have 4 or 5 agents working for creating contact, doing estimating, inbound leads. Now you need to manage those agents. So that's one area that I'm curious to see where it's going and where, you know, OpenClaw came out and everyone was going to create their own agents. I had someone I know that created agents and then it emailed every single one of his clients without knowing. Like, so you got to be careful, right? I was just saying, my friend in Portland spent, you know, 2,500, 3,000 hours developing the system. So, but that's one area. And I see ChatGPT and Claude are building that into it, but agents is one for sure. The other part is this, I actually think most clients aren't wrapping their head around that they can have their own large language model. I actually think the future is we're all going to have our own little large language model on our phones, on our computers that are going to be, it's going to be Rob's. Like it's literally going to be Rob's, or it's going to be Danny's, or it's going to be Breakthrough Academy. It's going to be your own large language model. And I think that's happening. Like I think that's happening, the adoption's slow, but it's happening. I think I'm excited for that. And then probably the last one I'm going to say, because there's lots of things I can talk about voice and so, but as I mentioned, robotics. Like I'm actually fascinating what's happening in the robotic space. And there's a company called Figure out of California. I just watched a video yesterday that, you know, two robots go into a bedroom that was messy. They made the bed, they cleaned the room. Like these are autonomous robots that are doing this stuff. And I think that we're going to be having robots in our business, in our homes sooner than we think, which sounds crazy, but we never thought we were going to walk around with a phone in our back pockets 24/7 either, right? So I think that those three areas are areas that I'm actually bullish on them. And it's as a business owner, I'm thinking how that's going to affect my business, right?
Yeah, I could see kind of like the company brain and the like agents being this year, next year. That's kind of like the era of those things. And then sometime after that is robotics coming onto projects and sites. I'm curious because I have a bet with one of my best friends on when we're going to have robots in the home. But when do you think, let's talk about the job site. When do you think we'll start to see, and this is just your guess, but like, when do you think we'll start to see actual like workforce work being done on construction sites specifically, not factories, because that's coming first, obviously.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's autonomous vehicles right now on construction sites. Like there are those, and you know, I don't know the value of them. I haven't done a deep dive into them. I've read some reports that the sites that are using autonomous vehicles are having less, more or less safety concerns. Like there's less accidents and on job sites and so forth. So again, very early on that. I'm super bullish on robots. I really do. I actually think robots are going to be, I really do. I think robots are going to be in our business and homes like within the next 2 to 3 years. I don't think this is a 20-year thing. I just see what companies like a Figure are doing. They just signed a big agreement with 3 companies as well. They're trying to get them into nursing homes now to help like be companions to people that are lonely. No, like it just, that's a whole different area you can agree or disagree with when it comes to that side of it. But I think they're going to be on work sites sooner than later. I really do. I think in the next 3 years, which is like crazy. It's like a snap of a finger. Like 3 years goes by like this. And I think the next 3 years, we're going to see it. Like we're literally going to see people like robots building homes.
It's an interesting problem to be solved. And I'm noticing as intelligence is increasing, like I think the hardware is there, but I think the software isn't, but it's moving at such a rapid pace. What people don't realize about like software driven algorithms and AI really is it's been exponential growth for a very long time. There's something called Moore's Law that I think it's been all the way back to the 50s, I think, something like when the first transistor was invented, and they had projected the exponential growth of the price performance of a transistor will double fold every 18 months. And it's done it basically consistently since, I think it's the 50s, to the point where now it's doing it like every 6 months. It's actually speeding up. And the human brain can't understand exponential growth. We only understand linear, the way we think. And so we totally underestimate all constantly how technology will move. And so I support what you're saying. There's a guy I always listen to, Raymond Kurzweil, that speaks a lot about this.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. I'll say one more thing, and I'll leave you have final comments here. My best friend and me have a bet, and he'll probably listen to this podcast. It's a $10,000 bet that by 2032, I believe it is, I will be able to have a robot be shipped to my home, dropped out of a box without any pre-programming, and it'll be able to do my dishes flawlessly.
You're going to get $10,000.
I think I'm going to get some money on
that. you should up that bet. Yeah, I mean, I actually think home robots are going to be, honestly, I think in the next 24 months, I know it's silly, but I really do. Like, if anyone's interested, I would say just go look up Figure. They've released a new robot called Helix, and they're training it to basically, the owner of Brett Adcock actually has a robot in his house. That's how he's training some of it. He's living with it, and then the thing is a. Once one robot does something like loads a dishwasher,
they all learn.
Robot knows how to load a dishwasher like this, right? And that's where the power of, like you're saying, the technology is advancing, and it's not slowing down, right? I mean, right now I would say probably fair to say the U.S. economy is propped up with AI investments right now, right? If it wasn't for the investments in AI, it would be really struggling. So, and that money isn't going anywhere. Like, there's billions of dollars, trillions of dollars being thrown into robotics and into AI in general, right? Look at the data centers and so forth. So, I think you're going to win that bet. I'm pretty confident.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And final question for you is just more of a personal opinion, but how should our contractors latch on to that revolution? Do you know what I mean? Like, what is it? Is it just to build some automations in our systems, build a company brain? Is that as best we can do right now, I guess? Because I think there is a little bit of a nervousness too, where it's like, you know, how do we all stay relevant in this new economy we're heading towards? I do think contracting is the most protected. And I think that for now, right? And I think that it's coming soon enough where it won't be. So is there anything we should be thinking about as owners just to make sure that our businesses, the organization that we've built and put so much work into, stays relevant, especially again in the contracting space?
Yeah, and it's, you're probably not the answer people are expecting, is that I actually don't, it's not the technology I would focus on. It's actually your business I would focus on. It's really understanding who you are. What you're like, are you managing your workflows properly? Is it the proper workflows? Are you going after the right? Like the core, the one thing AI has really enlightened me with, because I'm in this space all the time, is I had this aha moment literally driving, I don't know, a couple months ago. And I'm like, man, like, strategy is more important today than it's ever been, ever been, right? Because if you don't understand, if you're not understanding your workflows, your frictions, your business, your margins, all that, and you add AI, you're just, it's going to accelerate your decline. Honestly, it really is, right? So for me, it's like, how you can prepare for these things is be a strong business, be a strong strategic business. And then I think from there, you look for opportunities to add these elements into it, not the other way around. Like, not like, I need a robot. It's going to be the opposite. Well, let's figure out, make sure our business is running the way it is. And then I'm like, well, wow, I'm an electrician and I'm going to add a robot. I'm say Rob in 10 years from now, I'm going to be working 7 days a week now. Like, not me, my robot is, right? Like there's different ways of like structuring this. And where this really came, we're working with, of all things, is a dentist. So this is going to be totally different. But the reason I'm saying this is that he brought us on because he wanted to automate his practice. There's lots of things, really cool things we're doing, but he wanted to automate his practice because he wanted to close every Friday. He wanted to give his team Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, same pay, but he wanted to do the same business he did in 5 days in 4 days using automation and AI. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting, because people are talking about AI and growing business. And he's like, no, I want to use these tools actually for lifestyle. Like, I want to spend more time learning tennis and with my kids. And I'm like, and it kind of light bulb went off on me a little bit, saying maybe we're approaching this technology wrong. Maybe we're looking at the shiny, and we need to take a step back and go, what do we want to be with it? What do we want to do with our business? Like, where are there areas for us to grow? And then find the technology that can actually supplement that. So that's where I would say is take a little bit of it. Now, the last thing I'll leave with, I be curious though. Like, don't stop being curious as a business owner. I think you have to be. It's okay to try tools. There's lots of free layers in these tools. Play around with them. Go create a song for fun. Go create a video for fun. It's okay. Like, play around, be curious with this, because you need to know what's out there. But don't implement in your operations until you actually have a plan in place on how to do it properly. So
it's good old fundamental business. Have a vivid life. Really, and we've
it really is. Stuff. And like, I sound boring, but it really is, right? It really is.
It makes sense. Sorry. I mean, we've done a ton of episodes on this. I actually, almost every member we bring into Breakthrough Academy have the same conversation, which is like, you need to have a plan, right? And I think a lot of them have a good vision of where they want to go and an idea of what that looks like, but they've never really written it down in a conducive way that directs decision-making and people and hiring and what you spend money, time, and effort on to point it all in the same direction, because we're all really busy. And so we just let our ideas flow and we see how they go. Right. But
I 100% agree. And it's very typical. It's not just contractors. It goes into every business we work with. Like, people just get busy and you just do what you've always done. And we hear a lot of like, yeah, we just do it because that's the way we've always done it. And to me, that's where red flags go up. If you add AI and automation to that, it's actually going to hurt your business more than help your business. Right. So that's why I'm like, fundamentals. Like, I think the fundamentals are more important today than ever. No different than humans are more important than ever in my mind. We're in human businesses. Right. So no one wants to consult with an AI, right? They want to talk to Danny and Rob. Right. So,
all right.
Well, we hope
for now. Rob, any other just final thoughts? Someone running a $2 to $5 million business in construction, where should they start? Especially if some of this was over their head, what's like some just like simple advice that anyone could take from this?
Yeah, I think simply it's just, I always say, just don't overthink this. You know, walk before you run. All the analogies that you can think of is like, identify one friction point. That's, I mean, I teach a course as well. I teach a 6-week course around AI. And the goal is, at the end of 6 weeks, you've automated or you've just one thing in your company, right? All we want to do is identify one friction point. If it's sales, if it's email, if it's quoting, and then from there, map out your workflow to make sure it's the right workflow. And you can use AI to help you map out your workflow. And then just try to automate that one thing, just that one task. That's it. And then once you've done that and you're comfortable and you're sleeping well at night, then we do the next one, right? So, because I think sometimes that's where I get scared of agents, because agents would sell on agents is going to do everything for you. And I'm like, I haven't seen an agent that does that unless you got like a couple thousand hours to do, right? So just, if you're listening, just start with one simple thing that we can, one friction point, just one thing, and then we'll move from there. Just keep it simple.
Inbound leads, managing email, or quoting as the three major ones that you said earlier. So I align with that. And those have come up in conversation quite a bit. So.
Yeah. Find one of those, figure it out, and let's move to the next one.
All right. If people want to follow you or if they want to get in touch with you, how do we do that?
LinkedIn's the best. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. It's probably the one you don't find me on a lot of social channels, but LinkedIn, I probably might as well just follow me on LinkedIn. I try to post every day. You hear me rant about this stuff every day, maybe. I don't know. But I try to give knowledge. I try to give real, like, kind of what we talked about today. I try to kind of nail that as much as possible through my LinkedIn channel. So I would say just go there and follow me there. And I'm happy. And then reach out. I nerd out on this stuff. I always love talking about it. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to reach out. So.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, I do lots of podcasts on AI. I talk to lots of people about AI. I love AI. I think it's very interesting. Yeah. But the thing I really appreciate about you today is just you bring a very just like disciplined approach to it, where I think it is looking at the bigger picture a little first before we get all nerding out about opportunities with tools. And I think it's time for that, because this year it's getting to be pretty overwhelming. Like, there's just so much. Like, I look away for a day and there's already 4 updates I've missed on stuff. And I feel anxiety from it, to be honest. And it's just like, slow down. Let's do things once well. Let's build a plan, like you said, off of a vision that we believe in, and let's do one thing at a time. Cool.
Agreed.
Okay. Rob, thanks for coming on. We will put a link to your strategy opportunity scorecard for everyone below. That should help a little bit. And other than that, thanks for hanging with us, man. That was great.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Danny. Okay. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, man.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.